Welcome back, everybody, to Rain on Your Parade with J.O. Covan. I'm J.O. Covan, unfortunately. Here, as always, with producer Mike. Hello, producer Mike.
Hi, J.L. Hi, everybody. How you doing? Were you hoping that you were somebody else? Is that why you paused there?
Yeah. You know, just a very meta moment for me, just really pondering the universe and realizing this is what I ended up at. And we're also here with assistant producer and intern Frankie. Hello, Frankie. Nice. He's very calm.
For now.
Yeah, it's nice to see, but at the same time, I feel like I'm looking at, you know, Randall Patrick McMurphy at the end of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Mm. Like, did Chief lobotomize him this week? Yeah. I'm going to have to snuff him out and jump out your fourth story window.
Good luck.
Anywho, guys. Big week. You can see what topic we're talking about already. I'm sure the algorithm probably loved this one. Mm-hmm. And then what you always love is no repeat customers.
Yes.
In fact, you love the no repeat customers. You love the repeat customers who don't repeat and then come back 6 weeks later and go, where have you been? It's like, I don't know. It's a weekly show. I'm not sure why you missed the memo.
Right.
Are you that much a slave to the algorithm?
Yeah.
But we, to kick this off, we went to a Ranger game together.
We did. It was a lot of fun, except for the kid sitting next to us.
Yeah.
The only bad part of the experience.
Yeah. I'm going to speak in defense of this young man also during this conversation. But we go, it was supposed to be a very big storm. And it was actually, I mean, for South Jersey, it was terrible. You know. Maybe a few Jack Citarelli fans can't make it to the polls now. But it was really just a regular rainstorm as far as Essex County was concerned. So I was like afraid I was going to have to be like, Mike, you know what?
Yeah.
Just Christmas bonus. Take somebody to the game.
Yeah.
Maybe a lovely lady who just was at a Ranger game. Maybe you can take her. So. But then I was like, you know what? Screw it. I really wanted to go. And we just got Clifford. So we got two dogs now, and this Clifford fella. Mm-hmm. When I tell you, people are going to want to come over to my apartment in Bloomfield to meet this guy.
Yeah.
Now, Cookie is my first dog. She's a cutie. She's got tremendous amounts of personality, which I value. You know, the pandemic bonded us in a way that I guess me and Clifford will probably never have because Cookie became such a more integral, needed part of my life. Mm-hmm. So Cookie's George Washington. She's locked in. But when it comes to temperament and looks and kindness and a pleasant doggy neediness, Clifford might be Lincoln. This dog is a big, sweet thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves Laura so much already. And mm-hmm. I think it's because... Oh, guest
look who's
starring.
Making an appearance.
Guest starring. Wow, it's Anarchy.
And he is going to be in big trouble for hey, get over here.
This is a segment we call Frankie Almost Spills the Tea.
God damn it, I'll never get him off the table now. Get over here. Come on.
Blur out his balls,
thank
please.
You.
This is a family show. Blur out the balls.
Pardon
thank you.
Me, excuse me.
You know the fans love this.
Yeah, I know. And we should have videoed this one this time. I see a red light on.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Okay. Frankie, you don't have to put on the red light. Okay, thank you. So I went on our first day having him. We went late on a Friday night to pick him up in Bedminster. And I thought that was very fitting. That's where Trump's golf club is.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this is really kind of an interesting universe. I'm going to get this big, beautiful guy in Trump golf course backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So... the next day, I go to Williams College to see my nephew play soccer because he plays for Wesleyan. Breaking news on the Division III soccer front. My nephew, when he's a freshman at Wesleyan, plays a lot, has started more than half the games. They started unranked this season. They're number three in the country.
Wow.
Right now, in Division III. And they just beat Williams, where I went 1-0 at Williams.
Mm.
So that jumped them from 25-3 because they've been racked. They've beaten or tied like four straight ranked opponents. So I had to leave at like 7 a.m. the first day Clifford was in town. So when I got home at 9:30 p.m. that night, Clifford had already bonded with Laura, apparently in an unbreakable way. Mm-hmm. This guy whimpers like a maniac when she leaves for anything. He, by the way, takes shits like Secretariat.
Inside? Not inside.
He took one inside.
Oh, man.
But he's taken four outside, and they are massive. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have Giannis Antetokounmpo or Michael Jordan hands, but they're certainly above the average person's hand
they're
size.
They're big.
They are this big. I can palm a Clifford shit. That's how... They are one JL palm, you know, in like ancient measurements, like a stone, a feather, whatever, a league.
Yeah.
They are a JL palm worth of shit. But this guy is so sweet in a way. Like, he literally is just like, I would just like you to pet my head, please, mm-hmm. and scratch under my neck. And then he just does this thing where he goes and just puts his hand on your arm.
Mm-hmm.
And I could sit all day and just be like, hey, buddy.
Yeah. It is very relaxing when they let you do that.
Yeah.
Like when they're looking specifically for attention from you and they want you to play with them a little bit or give them a butt rub or a little head pat, it does kind of make you, it's very easy to be like, ah, I'll get to that thing I had to get to in 10 minutes.
Yeah. Porn can wait.
Yeah. Porn. That's right.
So what and what's great is like we took Cookie to the groomer on Thursday because, you know, boy dog coming over. I said, give her an extra cleaning around the puss, please. You know, we don't know. This could be the one.
Right.
But they get along. We have to change our schedule a little bit because now with two, you know, we don't have an estate that they can. You realize how much smaller a two bedroom apartment is when you add
dogs.
One 40 pound dog and then one muscular 80 pounder.
Right.
We go for like morning walks to the dog park. Like we take them out for like 50 minutes mm-hmm. in the morning. And then if we're both home in the afternoon, but they're running around the dog park and it's good because as we learn how they adjust and especially him, obviously to other dogs and things, but the fact that we have two, they were able to run around and play together in the dog park, even mm-hmm. without other dogs around. So, but he bonded with her a lot that first day. He seems to like us both, but he definitely likes Laura more. And so then I said, you know, by Sunday, after, you know, he was in the home for 36 hours, I said, well, fuck this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to the Ranger game. I'm going to be a deadbeat dad. If you love mommy so much, daddy's got to go bet on the Rangers.
NYPD. NYPD.
Oh, and that, well, we'll get to the game. But so... I was almost going to give you both tickets and just be like, have fun, get somebody in the city where it's easy. But then I was like, it's barely raining still at 5 o'clock. I'm going.
Yeah.
So we get to the game. They lost 1-0 to the Washington Capitals, who finished with the best record in the East last year. I thought the Rangers played a very good game. It wasn't really like a bad loss, but they are 0-2 when I go to games. They're 2-2 on the season, 0-2 when JL is in attendance. Mm. But cut to the chase now after 58 minutes of preamble. The guy sitting next to us.
Yeah.
And you knew we were in trouble. Well, first, the first thing was when he comes with his girlfriend. Nice looking chick. He's a college hockey player. Polite. I will say this.
He was very polite. Yes, he was.
And chatty.
Yes.
Which outweigh the negatives. I want to be fair. Well, in my world
view. Do you see chatty as a negative? Because I did. I was next to him.
No, I got you. But he really wanted to talk to me. You know?
Yeah,
he knew the big dog was in the house. But it was, I view that because of all the things I always complain about in terms of lack of social skills.
Yes.
Like, I view somebody with some personality, some desire to communicate with others.
Yes.
And somebody with some decent manners to be, you know, he is a net positive.
Yes.
Maybe it's closer to a net even for the game, but he's probably a net positive in the world.
Yes.
So but he comes in and he's like, oh, no, you guys sit. I'll crawl. Like, he's going to walk to the row behind us and jump into his seats because I have an aisle seat for obvious reasons.
Yes.
And so I was like, nah, we'll get it. And then I was about to like get up anyway. He's like, would you mind getting up for my girlfriend? And I'm like, I like the faux chivalry.
Yeah.
But I was like, get up for both of you.
Yeah.
And I think he took that as like me, you know, playfully fraternity brother style,
we're
calling
friends.
Him gay.
Oh,
no, like
that's what you took from that.
He was like, oh, why me? What did I like? And I'm like, yeah, now shove this pine cone up your ass, kid. So, but okay, but he was cool. The girlfriend goes in. I was just making a joke. I thought, you know, I'm middle aged now. I think I can get away with like, ah, you both get in, hey, kid.
Yeah. Right.
So, we're sitting, stand for the anthem. Was your Rangers? Yep. So he does one of the things I hate, and I'm
should,
like,
should have been the first sign that it was gonna be a long night.
That was the Let's Go Rangers during the anthem. I was like, I've never had the displeasure of being near one of those people. They're all throughout the arena, but usually my space is a safe space.
Yes,
from let me just abuse the anthem because I'm a white guy and therefore have free reign over patriotism.
Right. Remember when kneeling was a problem? Well, you can scream in the middle of it. That's okay.
Yeah, if Kaepernick had just said, let's fucking go 49ers.
Yeah, no problem.
Totally patriotic.
Yeah.
Kneeling silently, the troops are literally dying because of him.
Yeah, yeah.
So game starts going on, and this guy... is it makes sense that he's a college hockey player, but there is a I'm into hockey level.
Yeah.
Then there's an obnoxious guy into hockey level.
And I want everybody around us to know.
And then the highest tier.
Yeah.
I'm an obnoxious hockey guy with my girl here.
Yes.
And I need her to know that I know hockey and I'm dominating this one-on-one conversation.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, he's in college. He's probably at a sort, you know, his girlfriend was pretty. He's probably just like, you know,
maybe he's the captain for all we know.
He had
captain personality.
The C on the jersey, and the A for annoying on his hat. Yeah. But he's going through this whole thing, and he keeps talking, and he keeps like going, oh, you're and I had just been joking about the guy I was sitting near at the first game. Who it was like, do you like hockey or do you come to hockey games to like where it's socially acceptable to just bitch and hurl insults at people for 2 hours, like on your own team? Because I thought the Rangers played a good game. Like they lost, unfortunately. People are calling the Lindgren save that was on our end.
Yeah.
I heard on a podcast, they were like, that might end up being the save of the year and it's only week one.
Mm.
So like the goalie played out of his mind. Rangers were competitive, but this guy, you know, he got up. He was always very polite. And he was like, oh, sorry, thank you. So, but then he just decided, I guess, was it the third period?
To start talking to us?
To, like, start talking to us. Yeah. I guess the girlfriend had nothing to offer on the hockey front. So he goes, hey, so how do you guys know each other?
Yes.
And I said, dying for a chance to be irreverent, I said, Grindr. And he kind of was like, oh, okay, hey, Grindr, that's okay. Hey, no problem here.
Yeah.
But, and once again, you know, he went out of his way to be accepting.
Yes. Tolerant.
And Mike,
tolerant captain of the hockey team.
And Mike, yes, and with a pat on my knee and said, I like him big.
Yeah, I did.
And then I said, no, I'm a comedian. I'm just kidding. But we did meet on Grindr. No. So we had some fun there. And then the game, unfortunately, was a 1-0 loss. I was amazed at the people leaving with like 4 minutes to go.
Yeah, yeah.
I never get that. If you spend that much money on tickets, the train schedule can wait, is my theory. But that was it. That was your Rangers recap. I'm pretty sure the algorithm has
buried this.
The amount of comments I expect for this episode, which is like, I heard Trump peace plan.
Yeah.
And I get the worst discussion of hockey I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Yep. And for those people, yes, you're welcome. I'm glad you didn't like that. Before we go to break, folks, big announcement. You're going to hear this on Thursday or watch it, whatever. I'm in Tatawa, New Jersey, Thursday night.
Totowa.
I mean, you were saying Shale Sonnenson.
But I know Totowa.
It's Totowa. Yeah. I've heard Tatawa many times. You're the first person I've ever heard say Totowa.
Well, who are you going to trust? Some schmo or some guy that grew up in Jersey?
Well, I bless the rains in Africa with Totowa, apparently. But I'm in Toyota, New Jersey on Thursday. So if you're listening to this, there's a show there. It's a clean show. I got to go clean, non-divisive topics.
Right.
You know, so I guess that leaves the Trump impression at home.
Yeah.
But come, experience how funny I can be because doing many different things because I am. And then Saturday, I'm at Stand Up New York, Saturday night, 9 p.m. And then the Big Dog, Philadelphia, October 22nd. So I have no idea what ticket sales are for that. I've had a few people email me saying they're going. I've had many more people tell me, come to Colorado, come to L.A., come to... I go, I've been to all these places and not sold tickets. When are you coming to Pittsburgh? I did three times. They don't have me back because my ticket sales were terrible. So remember, if you know anybody in Philly, are from Philly, are a fan of mine, there's no time like the present, because if I don't sell well for this, you'll never see me in Philly again. Mm. And that's what I think people don't sort of understand. Yeah,
not even for a visit.
Oh, no, I'll never. No, yeah. I will go. A fan has actually invited me to be a guest in the alumni suite for the Flyers-Rangers game in January.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
That's worth going for.
Absolutely. Yeah. And hopefully, you know, getting hate crimed when I leave wearing a New Jersey.
I was going to say
Rangers.
Yeah, wear a Rangers jersey so you can have rocks thrown at you.
So, Ben Franklin would weep, but he was a fucking homo. So, I'm not even getting any of the other shows. I have shows in, you know, Long Island, Canada, Charlotte, etc. But. And by et cetera, I mean no other shows. But Philly, I want people at all the shows I do. I give a good effort. I'm working on like this new special. So it's new material. If you saw me more than like 11 months ago, you haven't seen this stuff. But yeah, and I'm preaching to the choir, and I know people will comment and say, you don't have to comment and say, if I was near, I would. I get it. If you would, you would. But there is this, like, we've talked about it before and then we'll go to break, but there is this exhaustion point I've really reached where it's like everything is working against the comedian. The conditioning of fans where they don't look up your stuff. Like, people will say, when are you coming to Denver? I'm like, I have 19 social media accounts and a website. Like, how uninvested in seeing me are you? Because if you haven't done any work, I don't mean work. I mean, if you haven't clicked on a link or a... How can I believe that you at all give a shit about seeing me perform? And the truth is, I don't think anybody does anymore, you know? And we've discussed this, but it's like, this is such an exhaustion point where you get every time you post to something and social media is fighting you, where it's like you post, hey, I'm going to Denver. I guarantee you these social media sites throttle you with any of your followers from Denver.
They don't care.
They're like, no, they do care.
Oh, they do.
They want you to pay. They care about you getting something for free.
Yeah.
They don't care if they see it. They care if you're, oh, he didn't have to buy an ad.
Yeah.
Oh, he put a link to his tickets in here. Throttle it.
Yeah.
He's got to pay for that kind of, like, if he wants to use us as an advertisement, he's got to pay us. Right. So I feel like they're so sophisticated now. As soon as I'm like, I'll do a video. I did a video today with Clifford and Cookie, just promoting the few shows I have. No links, but just... They're so advanced now. As soon as I say in a video, come see me, get tickets now.
Done.
I've got a show. When I tell you a 90% plus drop off, I'm not exaggerating.
I believe it.
And that's not even like, it used to be links. Don't put a link in. Hey, everybody, link in comments. Now, if you're like, hey, guys, so, fuck that. Hey, guys, is coded language for gather around me, possibly for money. No. And then you're like, oh, nine people saw this. And the nine people who saw it all want me to come do a show in Anchorage, Alaska. When are you coming to Juneau? Never. Let's be honest. Never.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to be rude about it, JL. I was just asking. I'm a fan. Oh, well, in that case, let me DoorDash myself to your house and suck your dick since you're such a huge fan. Anyway, guys, that's the fun part of the show. After the break, it's Trump and it's peace. And we're back from the break. Mike, how was that break?
Pretty good. We're talking wrestling.
Yeah, wrestling.
Wrestling, yeah.
Let's just get down to it. I know the people were like struggling through that hockey talk. Will hockey talk replace baseball talk is what they're saying online right now.
Yeah, right.
As the algorithm killer.
Yeah.
But the Trump peace plan, we have peace in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. It's over. Everything's over. It's Israel earlier today, I think, like, you know, hour 20 into the peace agreement, was like, they have broken the peace.
Yeah, right.
BB couldn't get his dick hard and was like, oh, can I go kill some more people? Honey, I'm trying to fuck you, but I can't. Somewhere a Gazan child is eating ice cream. And no, but I'm being flippant. But they said that they didn't return. One of the terms was, I guess, the bodies they were supposed to return. They only returned like 4 of the 24 bodies or something to that nature. But it was just, I don't want to say funny, but just to be like, we have peace. Oh, what's this from the New York Times? Oh, they broke the truce, according to Israel.
Yeah.
How did I know Israel would claim that the truce was broken? Like, I went all in on DraftKings.
Yeah.
And it was a minus 200, but I put $1 million right. on Israel.
It's going to pay out. You might get like 800 grand back. Right. That's a pretty good
Israel
payout.
Will claim that the truce is broken. Now, yeah. And let's be fair, in case somebody is new listening to me, I've been very reserved on this issue a lot longer than some people on the left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, respectfully reserved, not I don't trust anybody, I think they're awful, or I think they are, like, I thought October 7th was a horrible, horrible atrocity. And I had more of a not leash, that's the wrong word, but like basically in terms of giving credit to Israel and also understanding rage and vengeance and, you know, that this was a 9/11 plus event for their country.
Right. So why wouldn't they react the way that we reacted during 9/11?
Right.
The exact same way.
Yeah. But I, you know, so I thought Biden, I know Biden got a lot of shit, but he negotiated some ceasefires, got some more hostages released than Trump. Mm-hmm. And I think he was unfortunately beholden to a diplomacy and a politics of his time that maybe were not the best choice. And now people are still heckling Kamala Harris at like lectures, mm-hmm. which is awesome because I'm always like, oh, right. This is more evidence that you don't think Trump will listen to you. So you have to punish Democrats, mm-hmm. even though Kamala Harris, my gut with her, which was correct, mm-hmm. was that she would go harder on Israel than Biden.
Yeah. Well, like, I think she was saying that during those debates. You meant like once she was in office.
I meant when she's in office, right. I think she will draw a clear line, and that she was in. We sort of really enjoy pretending like there aren't circumstances every time we come to a moral decision. Like, right. Kamala Harris is the vice president of a sitting president who's dealing with this as one of his top issues as president. Just coming out and going, fuck Biden, you know, I guess would have satisfied Dearborn, Michigan, but I don't know that it would have been a solution or made a difference. But she was never going to do that. That's like so unrealistic. And in private, Biden kind of trusted the old ways. Biden was harder on Netanyahu in private, but believed in an old style of diplomacy and politics. Mm-hmm. Trump obviously believes in nothing.
Right.
And sometimes that can be beneficial. I'm not here to say that. Sometimes the way mold became penicillin.
Yes.
Sometimes nihilistic narcissist can lead to a breakthrough in diplomacy when they realize they're dealing with somebody who doesn't negotiate with terrorists or good people.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, he just doesn't. He tries to rip you off.
Right.
That's, and I guess sometimes right. that can lead to like a good result for somebody.
Yeah.
But what I find alarming about this, because I was reading, I like the New York Times, and I know everybody on both sides of this issue thinks that they're the worst. Mm-hmm. I love that, where it's like, they're such shills for Israel. They're the most anti-Semitic paper ever. Okay, I think both of you are probably wrong in at least the extremes you go to, but I was pretty disturbed by the, I think the word is hagiography that I was reading in places like the Times about Trump getting the deal. Trump got peace. Mm-hmm. And I know we're like, I see the kind of non-Trump Republicans who are, you know, just always seeking a way to get back on the winning team, where it's like, can't Democrats just at least admit that this is a great thing and that give credit to Trump. Okay. The hostages being home is an A++.
Right.
Okay. Whatever you think of Israel, whatever you think of whatever, they were taken in a brutal massacre and starved, mistreated, and kept from their families for over 2 years. Yeah. There's just no, I mean, I know there will be somebody online who's like, they're all guilty. The Zionist Empire. They're
yeah.
all, you get,
I yeah, I
I'm not
know
talking
I,
to them. You
I,
just
I
know,
I, yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah,
one
sure.
of those comments will pop up.
Yeah.
But so hostages home, wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And this, and that's always a group of people. Like when Brittany Griner had, you know, is thanking Trump, I don't go sell out.
Yeah.
Like you're in a fucking like Russian gulag.
Yeah.
You can thank whoever you want.
Right. You were made an a political example.
Yes. And I think I made this point a year ago or something, or when, like maybe more than that. Like I loved the fact that when Brittany Griner was like, you know, I've seen the light. I feel more patriotic. I'm more grateful. But she's a tall black lesbian. Mm-hmm. So there's no prodigal son moment where the MAGA movement goes, you know what?
Yeah.
Welcome, sister. We're so glad you love the country. Where was that bitch before?
Yeah, right.
Why don't you fucking say, wait, what? Christians? I'm sorry, patriotic Christians. I don't see any patriotism or forgiveness anywhere in this. I see a, that's what you get.
Yeah.
Well, what do you want then? That's my point. What do you want? She's had this experience that you always will, these people will always go, why don't you spend some time in a Russian prison or in an Al-Qaeda cell? Tell me how much you want them to have freedoms. And then it happens, right, and they want some sort of extra psychological punishment. Like, you got the worst case scenario, and you were proven right. It's yeah. like one of those, like, take the win in a cynical way. Why don't you take the win? Because the win is perpetual pain and judgment of non-MAGA people.
Yeah.
So you can't, it's like Trump. There is no end point for an all-consuming narcissist with insecurity issues. It's a, you are a what's the thing in your stomach? Like,
ulcer?
Not an ulcer, but when you have something that like keeps eating, tapeworm.
Mm.
Trump is an emotional tapeworm. And so that's as backdrop to the hostages are home. That for me is an A++. And they, you want to thank Trump, whatever role he had, of course. Okay. And that is a good thing. Trump doesn't always do everything wrong. I just don't think he's ever done anything for the right reason.
Right. But they say a broken clock is
yeah,
right twice a day.
A racist tyrant is right twice a term.
Yeah.
That's my catchphrase. And let's talk about Qatar or Qatar, however you want to say it. They gave him a $400 million plane. And I do think it's this simple. And I've said this, and I heard some journalists saying it also, but I came to this point independently. We're just on a delay when we do the podcast. But when they bombed Qatar or Qatar, you know, who were negotiating, who are American allies and are negotiating between Hamas and Israel, that's when Trump put his foot down. Now, do you think that's because he has such genuine, deep love and bonds with the Qatari people? They gave him a plane. They gave him a fucking $400 million plane. And we have a phrase, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Uh-huh. Trump's is, you don't bomb my gift, my plane gifting Arabs. That's his, and I, that's his phrase.
Yeah.
And I genuinely think that, and that's so disturbing in a way, which should put everybody on notice that Trump is transactional to the point of corruption and bribery.
Right, right.
Like, he is. We all know that.
So really, Qatar giving him a plane is the reason why there's peace in the Middle East.
Yes. Like, I know it's not quite that
God
simple.
God bless capitalism.
But I do believe it was like, they gave him a plane. He just gave them, like, rights to build a base in Idaho.
I don't remember. I remember him getting the plane. I don't know what they
Can you look
back.
Up? Can you look up yeah. military base in Idaho? That should come up quickly. Yeah. Patriots, lethality and patriotism and masculinity captain Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump have signed off. But while you look that up, I do think that played a humongous role because he's been watching this for 2 years.
That's correct.
Yeah, thank
Vance,
you.
Top headline from The Hill. Vance blames misreporting for uproar after Hegseth Qatari Air Force facility, something else.
Right, because if there's one thing MAGA has been about, it's been about Muslim nations setting up operations within our borders.
Right. In places full of white people.
When they wanted to put a mosque near Ground Zero as a sort of healing and commitment to our pluralism culturally and religiously, of course that couldn't happen. But what a difference a couple of decades and having a racist tyrant as president make. You know, now they're going to have a presence, a military presence in our country. Cool.
Yeah.
That seems cool. So for a plane, I mean, talk about a nice three-way trade that you wish you had Adrian Wojnarowski reporting on or yeah. Shams.
Yeah.
You've got, okay, the salaries have to match up, Mike.
Yeah.
But you've got Qatar. You ready for this?
Yeah, yep.
$400 million plane over to Trump and America. What?
It's a blockbuster.
What? Oh, my God. What did they have to give up for that? Well, Trump, and you're never going to believe this because this was like a red line for their management for years. Air Force Base. Where? Dearborn, Michigan, New York City, like somewhere with a heavy. Idaho. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Nobody- this league.
Oh, crazy. This is, I mean, do they know how to steal the media cycle or man. What? Now, and what else is anybody, is they had to have a third partner here to make this happen. The 20 remaining hostages that are alive are going back to Israel. Wow. Now, the question, it begs the question, though, why didn't this happen a year ago or 2 years ago? What are your reporters telling you? Qatar had not given Trump a plane yet. Because as Trump says on Making Podcasts Great Again this week, peace for nothing is stupid. If you get peace for nothing, all you're left with is peace, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Who gives a shit?
Right.
What do I get for peace is what all the great leaders have ever said. Mm-hmm. Gandhi, MLK, Bishop Tutu, Mandela.
Yeah.
What do I get for peace?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Ask not what peace can do for the world. Ask, where the fuck is my plane, peace? So we get that. And I think he did. You know, Biden wanted to use diplomacy and America's power of influence. Donald Trump, this is the one thing I will say, demonstrated, no, we're America. You do what the fuck we say.
Right.
And there's an element to this that I can respect. If you're doing that for peace,
yeah.
But if you're doing it for peace, he could have done this a while ago. I don't think Biden could have done it. Because are you online swiping during this podcast?
I was looking because I said I got a like.
Oh, good. Congrats.
Yeah. Anyway.
Did you type in, I have a $400 million plane?
I didn't bait the hook with that. No.
All right. Save it for the second date. But I think Biden didn't have it in him. And I'm not, like some might say, I'm not using that as an inherent criticism of his morality. I think he believed in a sovereign ally not going the full F you, we're done.
Yeah.
And maybe he didn't want to also. I don't want to make it seem like he was just so polite and diplomatic. Like, he was a big believer in Israel. Okay. I think that's a product of his generation, of his politics. Donald Trump, like we said, believes in nothing. But it's funny to me to see Kamala Harris getting protested at speaking engagements.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Trump getting across the board praise for basically being a year late,
mm-hmm.
transactional piece of shit. And people are like, the peacemaker.
Yeah.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will fuck hookers in their $400 million plane. So that's my first big gripe about this is like, I can't believe we're just going to treat this like, just like with Charlie Kirk, don't criticize the man, because then you're condoning political violence. They do a great job of conflating things. And as far as I'm concerned, Trump, I made this comparison to you before, baseball reference coming. It's like getting a 1-2-3 ninth inning in a baseball game. You strike out three batters, but your team is, or eighth, it should be the eighth. You strike out three batters in the eighth inning and you get a save. The problem is your team is down 10-1 when you do it. That's what it felt like. And they are very good at spinning the media. They want him to get a Nobel Peace Prize, which is, of course, based completely and solely in racism. There is now Obama, feel free to make the case that Obama never deserved a Nobel Peace Prize. That's fine. I think everybody was feeling so good about America not being a racist bully for once. I think it was a vibes Nobel Peace Prize. But I mean that in a way of like, I think him winning the prize was a reflection of the world thinking we had made, that the like world's leader had made a monumental step towards inclusivity and promise and the future. And he kind of benefited from that, I think, as just an inspirational world leader. You know, like it was the Steve Nash MVP of Nobel Peace Prizes. Okay. It should have gone to Shaq. End of story. But Trump, all he sees is this black won a Nobel Peace Prize. And not one of these African blacks like Tutu or Mandela, where it's like, okay, he's in prison for like 20 years. Okay, you get a prize for that. I guess it's like, you know, I wouldn't want to go to, I guess you go to jail for 27 years, you can get a Peace Prize. Okay. But this guy didn't go to jail. He went into Harvard, probably DEI, and then became president without even being a citizen. And they give him a Peace Prize. They gave him a, it's a very sad thing for our country to see this. He wants it because, like everything else, it belongs in the hands of a white man. You know? An like I said, 27 years in jail, African guy, fine. Regular black guy in America, absolutely not. And so there's this twisted motivation for, and it fits into my mindset of like selling out no longer exists. And at the highest level, he's corrupt. He's selling meme coins. He's so cheap on any level, like on any level, he's a cheap person. For president, absolutely disgusting. So the Nobel Peace Prize, he's just campaigning for it. And he's got all his minions going, they should get rid of it if he doesn't get it. That's a joke if he doesn't get it. It's a joke if he gets it. Or he should get it in the form of like a gold plane, like a little gold plane from like a,
a little gold
like
plane.
Like a trophy store.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to make that at a trophy store.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, can you put a little gold plane on top of it? And it says Trump Nobel Peace Prize for being greatest peace person.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like, thank you, sir. It's a beautiful thing to get a Nobel Peace. I never wanted. We wanted peace. And he's standing there, and I love how he's like, thank you, Jared Kushner, great negotiator, great. And Steve Witkoff, my corrupt crypto guy. And Marco Rubio also. Oh, your Secretary of State gets third mention in a major diplomatic mission? Cool. You fucking joke. But people, I saw people today. It becomes this thing where people go, you know, they'll see a liberal posting something, you know, or a member of Congress, and they'll go, can't you just even for once give credit where credit's due? I don't think credit's due. There, I said it. I don't think credit's due. And I know, oh, look at this liberal. He can't get, I don't think credit's due. I think he got offended that his plane people got attacked. And then he did what he could have done 9 months ago, but he didn't want to. He doesn't care. I know that's not a requirement of doing the right thing. Sometimes you just do a thing because it makes sense and you don't care one way or the other, and you still get the credit for doing the right thing. But how transparent does he have to be for people to understand this and not go, the deal maker finally got his deal. He did it. Why didn't he do it 6 months ago? Biden, I can explain why he didn't. It's a complicated set of factors that made him hesitant. Old age might have been one of the factors.
I would imagine, certainly.
Of course, but yes. I'm saying, there. Like when I really mean it, I'm not saying this to give Biden a pass. A lot of people didn't give him a pass. That's why they voted for Trump or didn't vote. And congratulations. You got peace after how many more dead people? You showed Biden. Kamala Harris, man, boy, did you show her in your quest to save the people of Gaza. Boy, did you show her.
Joke's on you. Biden doesn't even remember running.
Yeah. No, we won't have that Biden slander here. That's my president. But no, so I just think the Trump peace plan, it's like, and now he's feeling himself. And once again, he's like, I might send missiles to Ukraine. Like, he's being like a sassy bitch with Putin. Just send them if you're the fucking peace guy. Get them what they need to win against a violent, oppressive invader. This dance of like, Ukraine, do you have any planes you'd like to sell me? How about a plane? How about two hookers? You don't have to give me a $400 million. I'm willing to negotiate $200 million plane and five hot hookers.
But that doesn't get you peace. That just gets you missiles.
It gets you missiles.
Right.
Right. But that, but missiles can lead to peace.
Right.
Maybe. We call it peace through strength. So I think like he literally has pivoted now to the next thing that he could do so much more on. And it's clear that he's going, Zelensky, show me the money. And Zelensky's like, I love the blonde man. Show me the money. I love Melania. He's just, yeah. He's like, I love America. J.D. Vance is cool. Show me the money. I'll give you a plane and hookers. Congratulations, you got your Tomahawk missiles. That's what where we're at. And people are like, God, he did it. He's brought peace. It's insane. And like I said, I had to say first and foremost, if you are with the hostages, I don't give a fuck who you thank. Any role anybody had to play. If you know, Jerry Sandusky helped get me out of...
Oh, boy.
If... who is the doctor? Who is the gymnast doctor? Larry Nasser.
Yeah.
If I'm
I thought you were talking about Mengele.
No, he was a monster. But Larry Nasser, from what I heard, good guy.
Yeah.
No, Larry Nasser. Yeah. Larry Nasser and Jerry Sandusky negotiate with Hamas to get, like, my daughter out of a... Well, there were no... the women and children were gone. Get my son out of a prison. I go, I'd like to first thank Larry Nasser and Jerry Sandusky. They were instrumental in getting them out. Thank you guys. Really appreciate it. But that said, why do we have to look at Trump now like he's some new person? It's clear. He likes bribes. He likes being flattered. He likes being bribed. So I guess if you can bribe him, it might work.
Yeah.
And if Israel never bombs, if they blow up somebody else that didn't give Trump a plane, I think we're still at war. Prove me wrong. Right. Prove me like he gave a shit.
Right.
Like, I mean, Jared Kushner is just walking around like collecting millions of dollars. Just like he loves this shit.
Yeah.
And he's like close with Netanyahu, but you know, now maybe Jared Kushner will run for president. Who knows? That ball of charisma. But yeah, my whole point in this is we got peace for what feels like at least 30 hours until the alert came through that Israel said they broke the peace. Now Trump right now is probably talking to Netanyahu going, you son of a bitch. You will make me look foolish and I won't get a Nobel Prize. But Donald, I can no longer fuck my wife. I hear Palestinian children laughing and playing. It's giving me erectile tyrant dysfunction. Well, you better keep the peace because they gave me a plane and I want a Nobel. I want to fuck Melania wearing my Nobel Peace Prize. I'm going to put it in a championship belt, like a WWF championship belt. I'm going to wear it around my big waist and I'm going to fuck Melania with my Nobel Peace Prize championship belt. And you're ruining that right now. So please don't do that. Thank you. But everybody else, feel free to celebrate. I saw people, I saw some comedians, some very strong pro-Israel comedians who've never said a fucking word of disagreement. Like, they're just like, burn it to the ground. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
How dare you? How dare you? They were celebrating like that this was all that happened, was like a tense negotiation for 2 years. And now we have our hostages back. Like nothing else happened. Very strange. It's very strange. It's very gross. Taking nothing away from the anti-Semitism I've also seen, mm-hmm. of course. But Trump is a fraud. Trump is a selfish grifter. He likes bribes. He doesn't like it when you attack people who bribe him. And that's why we have a temporary peace in the Middle East. And if it holds, so be it. But let's not confuse who this man was. Just like Charlie Kirk got killed, the killing was a tragedy. The man was not a good person.
Yeah.
Both things can be true. Donald Trump did not go for peace like he's the new fucking Mandela. He went for peace because he likes planes. And that's my final new rule. And we'll be back with Comedy Talk. And we're back, everybody. Mike, good second break?
Great second break.
Excellent. Great behavior, by the way, from Frankie.
He, other than climbing on the table, he's been pretty good.
But you know what? Yeah. That almost, I think, helps the show.
Right.
You know?
Because now the cat's at, well, or the dog the cat, out of the bag.
Totally out of the bag. Insider, everybody. Another one of those Pacinos. That, oh, R.I.P. Diane Keaton, by the way.
So sad, yeah.
While we're in comedy talk, I might as well, you know, talk about an icon dying. Yeah.
Haney Hall, legendary.
Yep. Okay. Don't ask me about my bit. I think that's my favorite. Don't ask me about my business.
This all must end. Well, that's the second
one. That's the second one. It's an abortion, Michael. An abortion. Just like, I won't let you take my children. Anyway, R.I.P. Diane Keaton. Great, really great career.
Yeah.
Like a really great career.
Great career. Great actress.
Varied, relevant through every phase of her life.
Pretty much.
Unlike a lot of actresses, you know, who turned 40. Yuck. She just kind of kept working.
She had that like late in life career where she was doing those Nancy Myers movies.
I was just about to say, Nancy Myers shows up and is like, I'm actually going to write things for women who are 48, 52, whatever, you know.
First Wives
Nora
Club.
Ephron. Was she in any Nora Ephron movies?
Top of my head.
I'm just saying, you
know,
but
know.
Those
I don't
women.
Think so.
Sorry to veer off comedy talk, but like these women, it shows you what representation, not to suggest they got this for anything other than writing successful, good scripts that were relatable and funny. But it is interesting that like certain actresses, especially in like kind of the comedy dramedy phase, didn't have to leave at the age of like 39 until they were like 55 and could be a mom. Mm-hmm. They got to like be, I'm now a working mom. I'm now this, which just speaks again, there's an audience for everything, but not everybody always gets to tell the stories.
Yeah.
Sorry for that moment of wokeness and feminism.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's who I am.
Yeah. I'm going to do some research on whether or not, because Keaton and Nora Ephron do seem like they are sort of a match made in heaven, but
she might've just been a Nancy Myers. She might've just, I know there's something's got to give was Nancy Myers, I think.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I mentioned those two because those two kind of dominated a like 89 to 2003 for a certain type of film.
Yeah. Nora Ephron was even a little bit before that.
Yeah.
Because Heartburn, I think, is the first one. And I think that's mid-80s.
Okay. Mercy. Anyway, R.I.P. Diane Keaton. Now, I didn't do a punchdown of the week. I was too wrapped up in, you know, I felt too much love and peace from Donald Trump's work to, like, do a negative segment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you see your president just, God, bringing peace to the world for 24 to 48 hours, you're so moved that you don't feel as negative. But I did watch a special on Hulu called Damn That's Crazy from Frankie Quinones. Mm. Now, the special had a few laughs, but I got to be honest, I didn't like it that much. I didn't laugh that much. It was, and the problem is, and I say this with all due respect, there is a kind of comedy that seems to stem from like LA-based Mexican or Mexican-American comedians. George Lopez being like kind of a good elder statesman of the genre. I just don't dig it. I don't dig it. It feels more like if you got a T.O. that acts like this, this will just be like a familiar recap of what we all kind of get. I'm not saying it's unrelatable, but I have seen there was a guy, he passed away. His name was, I think, Freddie Soto. I remember discussing this like over a decade ago with an ex. And I was like, there was a guy, he had this joke. He had this joke, and I said it, and she's like, oh, I think his name was Freddie Soto. I'm pretty sure. I might be wrong. Can you look? You won't know to verify. I was too busy looking
up. I did find that yeah. Diane Keaton was in a Nora Ephron movie. Hanging Thank you. Up. Year 2000. Well,
there you go. Thank you. Go. Yep. I want to look up this comic because while I'm trashing. Yes. Freddie Soto. He died at 35.
Sad.
He's from El Paso, Texas. So that's not L.A., but that's another sort of, you know, Mexican-American kind of crossover comedian. I remember watching his half hour on Comedy Central years ago. And my ex actually said, yeah, that was Freddie Soto. Like she knew the name. I was like, that's right. That was him. 35. Unbelievable. Like to think that's 20 years ago. Like I saw this guy do like a Comedy Central special, not much longer than he was alive because it would have been in the early 2000s. And he had some jokes and they were like my dad and they were like language and like he doesn't know. But it was super funny for whatever reason. He kind of brought that energy and it was very identifiable as what community he's from and what he's speaking to. But he just did it in a way that it just felt more universally funny and original. This special, like a lot like this genre, I'd say it just kind of felt like, yeah, this guy's likable. And he's a very familiar character, but I just think it was great. I think it was a great special. Now, the reason I'm saying this and why you may sense me sounding reluctant or not as like, fuck, it sucked, man. It's a piece of shit. Fuck him. Anyway, end the episode, bro. Is because the reason I watched it, he's in a show on Hulu called This Fool. I love that show. He's really funny on it. So I'm saying this not because I'm going to work with the guy and my career's over. Like I'm not working with anybody. I'm barely working with you and Frankie. But that show, This Fool, I recommend you go watch it. It's really funny and he's really funny in it. He's my favorite character in it. So that's the kind of thing I sometimes say with Kevin Hart. When I hear people go, Kevin Hart's he's my favorite comedian. He's one of my favorite comedians. I go, he stinks. I think he stinks at stand-up.
Yeah.
But I've also liked him in a lot of acting roles. I have laughed at him a lot in movies. Now, I know Kevin Hart would not like to hear this. And I'm sure Frankie Quinones would be like, fuck you, man. Just saying, I watched it. It was like, it was okay. It wasn't my cup of tea. I didn't think it was that funny other than maybe a few lines. But This Fool, if I can get him views, you know, I want the thing that you hear from me is go watch This Fool on Hulu. It's a fun show. And it got canceled after two seasons because there's too much. There's too much out there and nothing can get the views it needs. So I leave you with a positive recommendation.
For once.
Yeah. Well, no. Sometimes I go positive. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's it. So if you want to see really shitty comedy, come see me in Latoya Jackson, New Jersey, New York City, and Philadelphia, October 22nd. So I got nothing else. I got a Patreon. I do a bunch of things on it. I don't think most of you care, but you know, if you want to support the show and get some bonus stuff, patreon.com/JLCovan. Go stream some of my stand-up albums. Do something. Leave a review. If you got money, go buy stuff. If you got no money, stream stuff. Leave reviews. And if you can't do that, what the hell are you doing? And I will see you next Thursday.